IVM.
BQ Big Decisions, the Bloomberg Quint podcast that helps you make the right financial choices. Hello, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to BQ Big Decisions with me, Alex Matthew. Now, a lot of us have grown up thinking of debt as a bad thing. We'd even hesitate to borrow money from our friends or neighbors. No wonder then that credit cards are not as pervasive here as they are in the United States of America. But it isn't like we haven't ever taken credit, right? Every time we've gone to the local kirana and not had change, we've ended up buying things on credit. We don't really think about it because we usually insist on paying the nice shopkeeper back as soon as we possibly can. So should credit cards be viewed with so much suspicion and wariness? Can they be used as an effective tool to manage your household finances? And if you do end up using credit cards, what are the pitfalls that you need to avoid? To talk about all of this and to give you a few tips and tricks, I'm joined by Karthik Jhaveri, Director at Transcend Consulting. Thanks so much for joining me, Karthik.
My pleasure.
Now, let's get to the crux of the matter, Karthik. According to you, should credit cards, plain and simple, be called a short-term loan?
Okay, so since you want to put words in my mouth, yes, it is a short-term loan, but is very important. But this is a short-term loan that you are deliberately taking,
okay,
because of convenience.
Okay.
Because you don't want to carry a wad of cash in your purse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's quick, it's neat, it's efficient, it helps you do so much, it helps you do analyze where are you spending, how are you spending. So at the onset, I personally have a portfolio of credit cards,
and wow,
which is why, I mean, that's what I even advise people. It's a great, great convenient mechanism of how you actually spend your money. So I think it's one of the smartest things to have happened. You couldn't have a better use of plastic. The number one best use of plastic is that they figured out how to make a card out of plastic, and which was money.
Okay. I like the way that you've put it. And right at the onset now, I can sense that you're a big proponent of using credit cards, but using them wisely, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the instrument that is the credit card. How is it used for the uninitiated? Because I'm sure that a lot of people have questions about how it is used.
So on a very basic level, let's say you go to a shop and you have to pay, right? Now, most shopkeepers are not going to give you a credit,
right,
except your local kirana store, maybe.
Sure.
You know, and that also you have to clear off weekly or monthly or whatever
sure
it is. Now, think about it. If you wanted to buy, let's say, a pair of apparel, some clothes, you know, some shirt and some trousers, you go to a shop, you have no choice because you cannot do electronic transfer. You cannot do all that complicated mechanism standing there and there. Therefore, you have to pay them cash.
Yes.
So now, that means you have to carry cash. And cash in your pocket can be stolen. Cash in your pocket could be misused. It could fall down. You could lose your wallet. There's so many things that can happen, right? But a card is so simple. Put a card, swipe it in, and you're done.
But my point there is that now you have several other modes of digital payment. You have a debit card. You have now UPI that's coming up in a big way. Google Pay. You have Paytm.
You got lots of them.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned it. So there is a fundamental difference between all of these payments and credit cards on the other side.
Okay.
The credit card means you are starting at zero level and you are building it up, which means you're not immediately paying. Now, whether
right
it's a debit card or a UPI or any other mechanism of payment, it's linked to your bank account. You have to have money in your bank account to be able to spend.
Okay.
And the bank account balance is going down.
Right.
And your credit card, as you spend, the balance to be paid back to the company is going up
right
to the limit of your credit card.
But that's not eating into your balances just yet.
Just yet, yes.
But so then it is very important to bear in mind what that limit is and how much you're consuming, right?
Absolutely. So the way I look at credit cards, it's a convenience mechanism.
Sure.
I could carry 500 rupees in my pocket and go around happily shopping, even on a holiday if I wanted to, knowing very well that, you know, all the merchants that I will visit will accept a card.
Mm.
And then you go and spend on that. It's convenient, right? Mm-hmm. And when the due date for the card arrives, so for all the people who don't understand how a card works, so it's a facility.
Right.
You carry a card in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to spend, you swipe on it up to the limit. So card limits could be 30,000, 40,000, maybe even 2 lakhs and 5 lakhs, depending on your financial status and how the bank has issued you the card, right? Now, based on that, you go ahead and you spend. So there is a due date. So every month there will be a cutoff date that's known as the statement date. Mm. On that date, the card company will look at all the expenses that you've made. Let's for simplicity say the date is the 10th of every month.
Sure.
So 10th of every month, your statement is generated and they normally give you 15 to 20 days, 20 days normally, which means by the 30th or 31st in our example, you have to make good the payment.
Sure.
So A, you don't overspend. It's not a license to go around spending when you are, cannot afford it. So you have to know that when you're spending it, you've got money by the end of the month or whenever your due date appears, that you will clear the payment in full.
So we'll get to the the good things to do and the things that you must avoid. But very clearly, there is a due date. There is a date when the statement for all the usage that you've put the card to is generated. Assume that comes to, what, 30,000 based on the kind of spending that you have. You have to pay the full amount by the 20 days that are provided, or can you pay a certain amount and then carry the rest forward?
Now, understand this. You have the option of paying a minimum 5%.
Right.
Right. But that's a very, very costly option. Never do that. Because then it can be like a whirlpool and you can get sucked into a real loan. Remember at the beginning, we said it's a deliberate loan that I've taken because I didn't want to carry cash in my pocket. So I've gone and spent. My statement is generated. It tells me that you need to pay this 30,000 or 40,000 or 5,000, whatever I've spent. By the due date, I should clear it in full. Because if you don't clear it, then from the date on which you have spent, the card company is charging you 3%, at least 3% interest per month.
Okay.
And which works out to 36 to 40% at the end of the year, which is an insanely expensive loan.
And the more you roll forward, the more you're going to pay.
The more it accumulates. Interest. So the card company will obviously on your statement do a marketing thing and tell you, you can just pay the minimum due, which is 5%, but don't ever do that. Pay it in full. Enjoy the facility of living cashless, but whenever your due date is there, in fact, you do it 5 days before the due date, so that you're sure that Saturdays, Sundays, public holidays, etc. are all covered, and you should get an SMS saying that the card company has received your payment.
Sure.
Because remember, there's nobody who's doing manual intervention. The computer is looking at it. The moment the clock strikes 12, you will be charged interest if you are even one day late.
Okay. So very clearly avoid the payment. I was going to come to this because if there's the convenience factor and why it makes sense for you, if you miss the payment or if you do a part payment, that's where the company is earning its money.
Not only that.
But there's transaction fees as well.
Yeah. So what happens is this. Every time you swipe your card, the merchant, let's, for example, take a name. Let's say Marks and Spencer.
Sure.
So you've gone there, you spend something. Now, let's say you bought apparel worth 10,000 rupees.
Sure.
Now, Marks and Spencer may not charge you extra. But from the 10,000 that you have swiped on your card, Marks will get about 2% or 1.5%, somewhere 1.5%, 2% lesser. That's the transaction fee that they are paying the card company and to Visa, MasterCard, Amex, whatever the case may be.
Sure.
So there is a charge, but not to you. However, if you went to buy a jewelry or petrol, you know, these things, the margin is too tiny. It's a wafer thin margin. So these merchants will upfront tell you that we will charge you an additional 1% or 1.5% for this facility, for this convenience. But what the hell, take it in your stride.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about, now we've already talked about the minimum payment. From the perspective now of good financial management, it comes down to managing your finances for your household. And it really comes down to whether or not you can manage deadlines, right? Because it comes down, boils down to managing deadlines from what you've said, avoiding the late payment, ensuring that you pay well in advance. How do you manage using a credit card for the good of your household with regard to managing your finances?
So, Alex, there are two questions there. Question one is, how do we manage expenses per se?
Sure.
And second is, how do we manage deadlines? So, I'll answer each one of those separately. Now, how do you manage expenses? So, like I mentioned earlier in this show, that I have a portfolio of cards that I use.
Okay.
Okay. Now, one card could be for company. If I have two companies, now I'm self-employed, so I have maybe three companies. So I have one card for each company.
Okay.
I might have two or three cards for personal expenditure. Now, my personal expenditure, I would distribute entertainment on one card and I would have utilities on another card, mm-hmm. for example. It just helps me track everything and make things nicer, simpler. Plus, I have the facility of a card. So all the banks are happy that I'm using their card.
Sure.
And of course, they're giving me some rewards about it, and which we'll talk later. But this is how I distribute expenses.
Are they all on the same deadline day? As in the
No, they are at multiple deadline days. Now I'll tell you how to do that. Mm. So when you have multiple cards, and like I said, a portfolio of cards, try and get it from one or two banks where you have your savings account.
Mm.
Because most people give you this facility of linking your credit card with your savings account.
Sure.
So on the due date, most of the times I'm not worried about paying. All I have to ensure is that there is balance in the account.
Mm.
And on the due date or a day before that, it'll automatically get debited. So I don't have to worry about running and stress about the payment.
Even it's a facility that you have to choose, though.
It's a facility you have to choose. And on your website, through your mobile app or through the website of the bank, you just link it. And it's already there. Because these days, they are very smart. They give you one customer ID and everything's under there.
Yeah.
Now, if you are into a different bank you can also set up a direct debit facility.
Okay.
So you can do that. Some banks will offer it, some banks don't. But the ones who don't offer it, there you have to remember to pay your credit card bill on time before the due date.
So what you're saying is you can have multiple cards.
Yes.
And you can actually...
You should.
You should. You're saying that you should have multiple cards. You should identify different uses to put those cards. And you should ideally put different dates or settlement dates on those cards so that you have that extra buffer. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think I would worry so much about the buffer because it depends now what you are doing. So now if you have business expenses or, some companies also give cards to their employees saying that go ahead and spend on this thing, whatever has been approved for you. So the company does not have to do settlement and they can just settle the card company and it's done.
Sure.
So there are all these facilities available. Don't worry so much about the deadline. If you're like a stickler for perfection to that level, then you can always call up the bank and tell them that please make this as my statement date. So all your statements are getting generated on the same day.
But I'm curious about what you meant by when you said that you have multiple statement dates and how do you manage that then? Because it obviously means that your cash outflow is split over a couple of weeks, right?
Yes and no. Yes, it is split. But also for me, I'm paying from different accounts. So the business is getting paid from the business account. Then personal expenses getting paid from the personal account. Then I have an account for entertainment and all of that. So that gets paid from there. And most of it is auto-linked.
Okay.
My premiums for insurance or whether it is my electricity bill, gas bill, mobile phone bills, etc. Everything is linked on the card.
Okay.
It's automatically generated by the vendor. The card company pays it automatically and my bank account automatically pays the card company. So it's all on auto mode.
So it's all automated and you suggest that all your payments as far as possible
do it
should be made on card.
Yes, it's a good idea to do that because by not using your savings account balance, you're actually earning interest there also.
Mm.
And you just have to make one payment. So you are earning that additional interest in your savings bank. Or if you've linked it to a fixed deposit, you're again making some money there as well. And the credit card company itself is giving you almost like 2 months of free money to use.
Okay.
So the way this happens is the credit card company, after the statement, gives you 20 days to pay.
Sure.
Now, assuming that after your statement got generated, if you spent just one day before, if you made a purchase, then you have only 20 days to repay that. But if you spend something one day after your credit cycle, then that bill will come into the next month's billing cycle.
Right.
And then you'll still have another 20 days. So in all, you'll have about 50 days to make those payments.
And in the interim, the money is not really getting spent from your account. It's sitting in your bank account.
It's sitting in my savings account. Maybe it's linked to a fixed deposit with my savings account. Maybe it's already in some investment if I made a high value purchase.
Sure.
And I'm earning interest and I'm earning money there.
Mm.
And I'm using money technically for free for about a month, month and a half. Mm. Most of the times.
Mm.
So let us say in a month, if I'm spending 40,000 rupees on the card for all my groceries, all my electricity bill, this, that, everything, then actually I have earned interest on that 40,000 for 2 months. And I make sure that I pay the bill in full whenever it's generated. So that way it's a great, great benefit to have.
Mm.
And you make a little bit of extra cash.
All right, Karthik. So we've talked about the advantages to owning a credit card, but those aren't the only advantages, right? Because a card company is when they call you and say you should take a credit card, they talk about movie tickets, they talk about various other facilities that you get. Should those be the determining factor to getting a credit card?
Yes and no. Some of the card companies give you some great benefits, but then also there is a fee associated with these cards. Most of the times I recommend for most people, enjoy the free cards that you have. Hmm. However, convenience, of course, like we've been talking about so far, plus the little extra money that you'll earn through not spending earlier in the day, that's a great advantage. But in addition to that, every time you spend, you see what's happening is you get some loyalty points. Now, these points are very, very interesting because at the end of it, across all your expenditures, even if you didn't do anything, you will have enough points to get yourself 5, 10, 15,000 worth of Amazon vouchers or anything else that you want to. So it's going to be some monetary value by just spending it. Electricity bill, you have to spend on it. There's no choice. Telephone bills, gas bills, you have to spend.
Yeah.
Right. And all of these will translate into points for you.
So you may as well get
so
the reward.
You may as well get the reward. In addition to that, like you mentioned, movie tickets, a lot of them come out with fancy offers. You know, you say, who doesn't go for a movie these days, right? But if you can save 30%, 50% on movie tickets, wow, you know, it's like a great idea. Shopping places give you discounts. You get cashbacks, whether you're buying alcohol, you're buying a mobile phone. You can get cashbacks. So these kind of promotions are galore all over the place.
Sure.
So these things are important. Certain cards like American Express, which are paid cards, the higher versions of that, also give you benefits of golf courses, concierge services, travel services, etc., etc. The list is endless.
Sure.
But in a sense, for most of our viewers, you know, guys, I think it's a fantastic idea. Go get yourself a card.
Okay. Very quickly, I want to ask Karthik a couple of last questions from my side. Is that you mentioned that you should ideally have at least one card, if not more cards.
That's right.
But it's not always as simple as that, right? Getting multiple cards. It depends on your income levels also. So,
of course, they will ask you for your income proof and things like that. But normally, if you get one card, you get good credit history. The other card company is more than willing to give you another card, and then it continues. So you get one and two and three. Sometimes they give you card, plus they give you add-on cards for your family. The more you use it, and the more you pay on time and you're a good paymaster, that means you're a five-star customer for that card company. They'll be more than happy to give you other versions, etc.
And this all counts towards generating a good credit score as well, right? Later in life?
Well, if you miss something, then your credit score is altered adversely. It goes down. But as long as you're doing everything regularly and normally, it does not up your score.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I get that. All right, so be aware. And that actually brings me to the last question, which is what are the pitfalls that you need to avoid, Karthik? And that's a very important question, I think.
Absolutely. When it says due date is 23rd of this month, come hell or high, the bank should have, or the card company should have your payment by 21st, basically 2 or 3 days, working days before your due date. So even if you miss it once, there's late payment, there's GST on late payment, there is penalties, interest, and before you know, it'll all balloon into a big packet that you'll have to pay. And then you can actually get into a cash flow trap with clearing debts, and people actually get wiped off, especially people who are earning, let's say, less than 4 or 5 lakhs, and they go on a big vacation and they spend money. So you can actually get into a serious trap. Do not misuse this facility. It's not a license to spend money that you don't already have, or that money that you can't afford.
Sure.
So don't overspend. Spend only what you know you can afford.
And never push a payment forward, right?
Absolutely.
Always clear
pay
the bill.
In full, always. Even if you're setting an auto debit, they give you this option, how much to pay, 5%, 10%, 20%, say 100% and pay it off.
Okay. Any other points that you want to make with regard to pitfalls?
Not so much in that sense, but don't be so wary about it. Go get yourself thing, pay on time. And if you can't really manage these cycles and things like that, well, keep a reminder alarm in your phone and things like that. Basically, I just want you to pay on time and enjoy using a credit card.
All right. Karthik, it's been a fantastic conversation. I think a lot of our listeners who've been on the fence, shall we say, about getting a credit card, perhaps might have gotten convinced about the benefits of using them.
I hope so.
And thank you so much for joining us on this conversation, Karthik. To you, dear listener, thank you so much for listening in to this conversation. If you liked what was said by Karthik, if you agree with what he said, you do let us know. If you don't, tell us why. You can write in the comment section and give us feedback. It's always welcome. Thanks so much for listening. This is Bloomberg Quint.
If you enjoyed Big Decisions, check out some other podcasts on the IVM Podcast Network. You can check out Paisa Vaisa, hosted by Anupam Gupta. Advertising is Dead, hosted by Varun Dugirala. The Ronnie Screwvala podcast, hosted by Ronnie Screwvala, or Cyrus Says, hosted by Cyrus Procha. These shows are available on the IBM podcast website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Filter coffee is a fascinating beverage. You need to pick the right beans, blend them in the right proportion, roast them to perfection, and slow brew at the right temperature to get the perfect cup. Which is exactly like great conversations as well. You need to track down the most interesting minds, get them into their zone, and settle down for an unhurried, unscripted chat. And coffee for me is always, always, always best enjoyed with friends. I'm Karthik Nagarajan, and do share my table as I meet some of the most interesting people I know and sit them down for a strong cup of coffee and an even stronger conversation. Join me every Wednesday for a freshly brewed episode. This is not Frappe. This is the Filter Coffee Podcast.
Sachin Tendulkar, Virat Kohli, Don Bradman, and now Cyrus Brocha. Okay, probably not in the right company. I mean, Don Bradman is Australian. But it's called Cyrus Says, a wonderful show about everything. Find the show on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Cyrus Says is brought to you by Storytel. Keep in mind that if you go through storytel.com/IVM, you get a 30-day free trial as against a 14-day free trial on the link. Right? It's very simple. All you got to do is log on to storytel.com/IVM. Millions and millions and millions of stories, many written by me.